for 10 years, actually a little more than 10 years. Brother Matt and Anna were on our staff here and part of our church, and we got to have him come and be an intern one summer while he was in Bible college, and he stayed at our house. And it was a blessing to get to know him. And then, of course, he married one of our girls, Anna, here, and we were blessed to marry them. And then after 10 years served here on our staff as a youth director and choir director and leader. Then God moved him to Issaquah, Washington. I still think Issaquah is Indian for don't leave Reading, but it was God's will, and he did it the right way and came in under counsel and prayer. God directed him there. Now the church is established, and we've supported them for these 2-plus years and enjoyed that, and it's a blessing to have him home. But I wanted to preach to us this morning and this evening also. So I know you want to be here tonight too, but again, it's good to have you home, Brother Matt and Miss Anna. Good to see you. You come preach to us now.
Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that so much. Let's take our Bibles this morning, please, if you would. The book of Romans, chapter number 1 this morning, please. Romans, chapter number 1. Romans, chapter number 1. Of course, I hope you understand, and I know that you'll never fully understand how wonderful it is and what a great privilege it is to come back here. And yes, we miss you, in case you're wondering. It never gets easier. It never goes away. My wife and I have many conversations about all of you and how much we miss you. And there's something about the will of God and about doing God's will and about seeing. And, you know, it never gets old as I talk to our people. We're not a large church, but God has given us some incredibly awesome people. It never gets old as we talk to our people and they say, you know, Pastor, I was praying for a church to be here. That's when you go, okay, God, you knew what you were doing. You knew exactly what was going to happen and what needed to happen. And I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate your help to us financially. All of that is needed. I've looked over, it's actually, believe it or not, Pastor, it's actually been 3 years. We just celebrated our 3rd anniversary in September. I've looked over those 3 years and I thought, my goodness, we would have never made it if it wasn't for that time. We never made it if it wasn't for that and that and that. And it's just how it's been for 3 years. And that's a tribute to you, to others who have just said, okay, we're going to do what it takes to make sure that church is established in that community. I appreciate it so much. And I just wanted to tell you from the bottom of our heart how much we love you. And we do miss you. We do. In heaven, we'll never change our church membership. Amen. And we'll get to just celebrate together all the time. But I wanted to share that with you and just let you know what a privilege it is to be back here. And I don't take it lightly. You have to listen to this when you could be listening to that. And so I'll do my best to say what God's laid on my heart. Shut up, sit down, and we'll enjoy the day together. But that'll be great. Romans chapter number 1. The Bible says in verse number 16, please. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Verse 17 now, please. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, I know, forgive me, and I'll mess it up there, but the last song we sang there, it talks about in the very last verse there about those who have heard it many a times who love it best. And today I hope that that's you, because we're going to talk about that wonderful thing of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, help us this morning. Lord, you know, God, how much I need you. Lord, please, Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would completely control me this morning. I pray that I would not say anything that you would not want me to say. Father, Holy Spirit of God, I ask for liberty. Lord, I ask for your liberty upon hearts and minds. That, Lord, today you would work upon us. You would give clarity from your word. And Lord, maybe there's someone in this room today that's been struggling or maybe has been questioning or, Lord, maybe just has never heard of it. But God, that the gospel would be very real and very evident in our hearts and minds this morning. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. He says this, the Apostle Paul, as he penned this letter to the church at Rome, he said this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." There's some things I want us to glean this morning from this passage of Scripture. First is I want you to see what he says there. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel," but it doesn't stop there. You know, there's a lot of things in our world today, aren't there? Everybody's got an opinion on something. Okay, maybe you don't. Where I live, everybody's got an opinion on something. And it's the truth. I mean, you hear this and that and all the kind of stuff. What Paul is talking about here, you know, the gospel, that gospel there means good news. That's exactly what it means. Good news. But it's not the good news of what we, you know, everybody's trying, you know, they got their self-help and they got the this and that. And if you, take three pills and, you know, drink water and call me in the morning, you'll be all right. Everybody's got their idea of what's going to work for mankind and so forth. And Paul here is not talking about the stuff that we create. He says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Watch this, he says, "of Christ." Now, dear people, listen to me. That sets it alone above everything else. The gospel of Christ. And so we need to understand that this morning as we look at this thing called the gospel, we need to understand that we're not talking about my opinion or your opinion or the church's opinion or pastor's opinion, whatever the case may be. We're talking about the gospel of Christ. What the Bible has said about Jesus Christ and the good news of the gospel. Then he goes on to say this, "For it is the power of God unto salvation." You ever think about that for just a moment? Dear people, listen to me. Do you realize that you and I, for those of us who are sitting in this room, we will never spend one moment separated from Christ in the lake of fire? And you think about that. Now watch this. That can become old hat to us sometimes. It shouldn't. It shouldn't, but it can. Sometimes we get so busy in our day, we forget about the goodness of God in our lives. And he says this, "It is the power of God unto salvation." You remember when God got through on you? Maybe you got saved later in life. I was saved as a teenager, a 14-year-old boy. But I'll never forget when God finally broke through upon my heart and I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. Watch this. That was the power of God unto salvation. Jesus Christ saved me. He took my sins away, not because I deserved it, not because I was raised in a Baptist church, not because I was good and he finally just said, "Okay, I'll accept you." Oh, no. Because the power of God worked in my life just as it did in yours. So he says this, he said, "It's the power of God unto salvation." And he says this, "To the Jew first and also the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God." By the way, can I share something with you, dear people? It's for everyone. It's for everyone. Can I just help you with something? I hope I don't say anything that I shouldn't, but I want to help us with something because I've been reading some different things and some different opinions and so forth. Just come across it. I try not to read stupid stuff. Because stupid stuff makes you stupid, you know? But watch, can I just share something with you, dear people? Listen to me, there's a movement out there today that's trying to tell you that, you know, that what we do is false and you trusting Christ isn't it. God will just one day just reach down and boom, if he wants you, he's yours. That's nonsense. Listen to me, please. That's nonsense. Watch this. That book right there does not teach that. The Bible teaches us that, watch this, that we by faith trust Christ, and that's exactly how it happens. Watch this, and it is the power of God, and it is the revelation, if you would, of faith from our God. And by the way, can I just share something with you? 2 Peter chapter number 3, in verse number 9, we see it here in Scripture. Will you turn there with me, please? But 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse 9, is very clear that it is for everyone, and we need to understand that. God is not going down the line and going, "Okay, I accept you, but not you, and I accept you, but not you." That's not how it works. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse 9, look at this. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises." You know why he says that? Because we are. You ever promised somebody and then you had to go back on it? It's embarrassing, isn't it? Sometimes we don't even care. Watch this. And that hurts our word. You know, God never goes back on his promise. It's why we can depend on it. It's why we can trust it. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some encounter slackness, but as long-suffering to us, we're not willing, watch this, that any. I think Pastor wants to say to any. What is that, like Greek for no one? Any should perish. Nobody. That's what his will is. He's not sitting there going, well, I like some people and I don't like other people. No, no, no. God says, I want all, everyone. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So as we see this thing of the power of God, if you'll turn back there with Romans chapter number 1, I want us to look at a couple things this morning. Number 1, I already talked about it here, but the good news of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, tell us what the gospel is. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know why that's significant? The death is significant because the Bible says that Jesus shed his what? Talk to me, please. He shed his what? Blood. Why is that significant? Well, it's significant because Scripture tells us that the only thing that can wash away and take away sin without the shedding of blood is no remission, the Bible says. Without that, there is no forgiveness of sin. So dear people, listen to me. That is the death of Jesus God. That's the good news. Why? Our sins can be forgiven. Aren't you excited about that? When you mess up, watch this, it can be forgiven because God shed his blood for us. As I read that Bible, read that passage of Scripture there, I'd always look at the good news, and it's the death, the burial, and I always thought about what was so good about the burial. Watch this. If you look at the Bible, one day I'm reading through the book of Revelation and went, bing, the light bulb came on. Because the Bible says, watch this, you know what Jesus did during that burial time? He conquered death. By the way, he has the keys, the Bible says. Woo, that's good stuff right there. Hey, watch this. He conquered death. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, you get down towards the end of that passage of Scripture, it says this, oh, death, where is thy sting? Victor, where? Grave, where is thy victory? Man, that's good stuff right there. You see, the good news is this. We don't serve a dead God. We don't. We don't serve someone. We're not going through. We're not bowing down to some pagan statue or whatever the case may be or whatever your God has made into your mind, however you want to work at it. We serve a risen Savior. And he's alive and he's working. And so there's good news in that. By the way, that next one is this. The resurrection, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know why that's exciting? Because he proved who he was. Watch this. He rose again. How can a God who can't give himself eternal life give us eternal life? Well, he can because he did. And he proved it. And he walked out of that grave 3 days and he said, look, I have the eternal life and I want to give it to you. And that's good stuff, dear people. And we see this. So the gospel is not just the gospel. It's not what's made up in our minds. It's not how, I have a certain opinion on it, and I have this opinion, and I have that. Man, you see that stuff all the time. No, there is a foundational way of looking at it, and it's how the Bible teaches us this. It's the good news of Christ, the power of God. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. By the way, can I just tell you this? It's not in our goodness. It's not in our works. It's not in our actions. It's not in whether or not we, I tell our church all the time this. I love to play golf. I'm an average golfer. If I were to walk up to Tiger Woods today, and I know Tiger Woods, but at one time Tiger Woods was the Tiger Woods, right? If I were to walk up to Tiger Woods right now and I say, hey, Tiger, you want to watch me swing a golf club? There's a chance he'd probably start yawning. He probably wouldn't be very impressed. Why? Because Tiger Woods, blindfolded, could probably hit a golf ball better than I could. It's not. It doesn't have any lure to him for him to stoop down to watch me hit a golf ball. Can I ask you a question? How foolish it is for us to think that we could be good enough to impress a God who's never sinned. Think about that for a minute. Oh, no, God, you just don't know who I am. No, he's pretty sure. I'm pretty sure he knows who you are. In fact, the Bible tells us he knows everything that you've done, said, thought. Do I need to go any further? You know, I get it. We're legends in our own mind, right? Oh, maybe you're not. Okay, I am. But no, anyways. You know, we think we're bigger than we really are. But the God of heaven, he really knows us. He really, really, really knows us. So that's why salvation is not in us. Salvation isn't in a church house. You're not saved because you sit in these nicely padded green pews. You're not saved because you were to go back there and get dunked by pastor in the baptistry. You're not saved because of those things. You're saved by the power of the gospel. Now, we see the gospel and what it is. We see, number two, the power of salvation. Wow, what is salvation? Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 1, verse 10 tells us that it is deliverance from the wrath to come. Aren't you thankful for that? Watch this. He didn't say deliverance and after the wrath to come. No, he said deliverance from the wrath to come. And I'm thankful for that. But I want you to see a key verse that really helped me, Romans chapter number 10, and I love this. This right here, just put it on the bottom shelf for me in my life. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. May I throw this thought out there to you? Just because you're passionate doesn't mean you're right. Can I help us with that today? We got a lot of people out there. Oh, man, they just got a good heart. Serial killers have a good heart, all right? They're not good people. We got to get past the whole, well, you know, they try hard. No, there's a thing called truth. And there's a thing called the Word of God. And there's a thing called following what God has for us in our life. And so he talks about these dear Hebrew people. And he says, look, they're zealous. They've got a zeal, but not according to knowledge. They don't get it. They've missed it. They've missed what truth is. Well, how did they miss it? Verse number 3 now. For they being ignorant of God's, right, there it is, God's righteousness. If you're here today and you say, you know, Brother Matt, all I've been doing is trying to do the right thing. And I'm just hoping that God will be okay with that. Watch this, dear friend, can I introduce you to God's righteousness? It's not about your righteousness. It's not about, in fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah that our righteousness are as filthy rags. You know what that filthy rags refers to? It refers to the rags that the lepers would use to clean themselves. And they would hang on posts and they would scrape their sores and those rags would dry in the sun. You can imagine how stinky and filthy and disgusting. And God says, that's what you doing it your way looks like to me. But there's my righteousness, God says. My righteousness that I want to give you. He says this, in going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves under the righteousness of God. So they're going about to do it their own way instead of doing it God's way. Doing it God's way, there's power. Doing it our way, there's failure. Doing it God's way is successful salvation. Doing it our way will lead us to everlasting punishment in the lake of fire. Romans chapter number 1 now, verse number 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It's amazing here that he says this. He says, it's about receiving God's righteousness and not our own righteousness. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter number 2 how that is done. It is done through a thing called grace. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. By the way, that word grace means a merited, undeserved favor. We don't stand before God deserved. We stand before God undeserving. And that's just the beautiful thing about it. Because watch this. When Jesus came, he said this, I've come to seek and to save that which was what? Not found. Not figured out. Not they got all their ducks in a row. Not, oh man, that guy's got it figured out. No. No, no, no. Lost. Needy. Help. Okay. I've come for that. Come for that. We talked about that it is not... it is for everyone and not a select few. We see that in Scripture here. But I want us to look at one last thing this morning and we'll see this. How is it revealed? Verse number 17, the Bible says this, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Now, if I can illustrate this really quickly, and I'll be finished this morning. We talked about two words this morning. One is grace, one is faith. Grace is God's end of the equation, right? So we'll look at an equation here really quickly. I'll show you my math skills. 1 + 1 = 2, right? Good. I think there was a homeschooler. They said 1. No, I'm kidding. My kids homeschool. I'm allowed to say that. All right. So 1 + 1 = 2. Okay? There we go. 1 + 1 = 2. So watch this. God's side of it is grace. What he tells us our side of it is faith. Faith. Now, a lot of people believe this. A lot of people believe faith is just, yeah, well, I believe. Now, can I just share something with you? Faith is not just the words, I believe. Right? It's not. In fact, the Bible says that the devils and his angels, they believe in God and tremble. Now, they believe for a different reason than we believe. They believe because they've seen him. Right? They believe who he is because they know. He cast them out of heaven. They're very well aware of God and his power. We believe because, well, we live in America and that's what we do, and there's a God. What God is asking for us then is faith, not belief, not the words of belief, but faith. It is an action on our heart belief. Now, I want to be very clear and explain that. What do I mean by that? I mean this. It is literally the action of acceptance. It's what it is. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible then goes on, Romans chapter number 10, verse 9 and 10, and explains to us how we show our faith. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That word confession means agreeance. So what am I agreeing with? I'm agreeing, number one, that the Bible is true. Number two, I'm agreeing that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He is the incarnate Son of God and God the Son, and that's what I'm agreeing to. Number three, I'm willing from my heart to receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, to place my faith in him. My next door neighbor is Hindu. Jesus is just another God to him. Hindus can worship up to thousands of gods. And so trying to witness to him and trying to give him the gospel, he went to a Christian, if you would, school in India, and he now lives in Sammamish, where I live, and he is my neighbor, and I love Raj, and he's a good man, but we pray for him. But watch this. He does not see Jesus as God. He sees Jesus as a God. So salvation is understanding that Jesus is God. God. Watch this. Let us make man in our image. Did you know that plurality in Hebrew is not two or more? In English it is. Plurality in Hebrew is three or more. Well, that's interesting. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Yeah, our. By the way, same reason why you are created a three-part being. Body, soul, spirit. Now watch this. So God's end of it is grace. Our side of it is faith. The end result, salvation. Now my question is this, dear friend. Have you ever placed your faith in Jesus Christ? It is a singular event. I'll prove it to you. John chapter number 3, there's a man by the name of Nicodemus, a religious leader, wanted to come to Jesus. He came to Jesus by night for fear of people seeing him. And he said, listen, how can I receive the kingdom of God? How do I know? And Jesus said this, except a man be born again. Now, October 20th, second greatest day other than September 12th, but October 20th just happened. It was a great day, my birthday. Now, watch this. I wasn't telling you about October 20th and September 15th and January 16th, Mrs. Wheaton. And I wasn't telling you about three different birthdays that I celebrate. I only have one. Only have one, because that was the day I was born. Watch this. You're born again once, but it must be once. Please, if you're in this room this morning, do you know for sure that you've trusted Christ? Not that you've trusted church, not that you've started coming in as this is a great family and a great community and you're thankful to be a part. All those things are wonderful, but that's not salvation. Salvation is, watch this, my faith, and God says, okay, I'll give you the grace because of your faith, and now you are saved. Watch this. We can have a wonderful time together. I look forward to being here all day. We can have all these wonderful things, but if you sit in this room and you live the rest of your life and you die and go to a place called the lake of fire, this was all for naught. This was all for naught. And so the truth of the gospel is this. Paul says it is the power of God unto salvation. You, dear friend, can be saved by putting your faith and trust in Christ. Now we sang it. We sang it. We sang how sweet it is. I can hear it and hear it and hear it, and it never gets old. I hope that's our attitude today. For many of us in this room, this is the 1,000,000th time we've heard the gospel. And it's just another message. But can I just show you, you know how wonderful that is? You know how many people have never heard the gospel, not one time? They don't know that Jesus died for them. They don't know that he loved them. I love him. I love you, Jesus would say, written in red. I'm so thankful that he died for me. I'm so thankful that as a 14-year-old boy, I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I don't want it to get old. I don't want it to just become, yeah, I'm saved. For it is the power of God unto salvation. It is revealed God's righteousness from faith